I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. At this time, we sing together our opening hymn, number 851. Please stand. Our service begins on page 151. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his only Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
At this time, I will direct you to your propers insert as we speak together the introit, half verse by half verse. Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord.
I have fled to you for refuge.
Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my pleas for mercy.
In your faithfulness, answer me. In your righteousness.
Enter not into judgment with your servant.
For no one living is righteous before you.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord.
I have fled to you for refuge.
We continue with the Kyrie on page 152. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above, and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Mercy.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The collect of the day can be found on your propers insert. Let us pray. O God, our refuge and strength, the author of all godliness, hear the devout prayers of your church, especially in times of persecution, and grant that what we ask in faith we may obtain through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings. The Old Testament reading for the 15th Sunday after Pentecost comes from Genesis, chapter 50. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph, saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, 'Please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgressions of the servants of the God of your father.'" Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive, as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. At this time, I'll once again direct you to your small catechism insert as we continue our confession on the Lord's Prayer. What is the second petition of the Lord's Prayer?
Thy kingdom come.
What does this mean?
The kingdom of God certainly comes by itself, without our prayer, but we pray in this petition that it may come to us also.
How does God's kingdom come?
God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us His Holy Spirit, so that by His grace we believe His holy word and lead godly lives here in time and there in eternity.
The epistle comes from Romans, chapter 14. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be
Lord, both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Peter came up and said to Jesus, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, Pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, Have patience with me, and I will pay you. He refused, and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. At this time, we sing together our next hymn, which is number 496.
supreme and reign alone.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Who here has heard of a man by the name of Dave Ramsey? Anyone? A few. We got a few. Maybe half. He's a financial insights, and he gives financial insights in this kind of a money management system based on a lot of common sense. And he's helped a lot of people claw their way out of a debt-filled life into what he calls financial freedom. Of course, along the way, if you're going to be doing this, there are hard decisions and sacrifices that must be made. But with consistency and with some self-control, many people have been relieved of their debts through his advice. And honestly, that's something that we all could use. Now, I don't know where you are in your place in life, but the truth is that the world at large is incredibly in debt, especially in our country. Car payments, mortgages, medical bills, credit card debt, student loans, and I'm sure some of you here might be able to wax eloquent about all of the farm debts that people deal with too. You name it, pick your poison. Debt is all around us, and with each debt comes its own kind of stress. But imagine for a moment that all of your debt was forgiven, just taken away immediately in an instant. That'd be pretty nice, wouldn't it? Well, in our text for today, Jesus uses this very idea to express a truth about forgiveness. As the parable opens up, he says, "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents." This is a man with a lot of debt. More debt than I can even fathom, honestly. A talent was 6,000 denarii. And a denarius was one day's wage. So if you want me to break that down for you, he would have had to work 164,000 years without spending a single penny on anything else to pay off his debt. That's a lot of debt. In fact, to say he has a lot of debt is an understatement. And so our text continues. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made. Now, in telling this parable, Jesus actually isn't concerned about money at all. But instead, he would have us remember that due to our sin, we have amassed a great debt with the king, who is God himself. And it's a debt so large that we couldn't even work for 164,000 years to pay it off. Even 164,000 years of a perfect life wouldn't do enough to pay off this debt with God. It's insurmountable. And since we're comparing sin to money here, if you think about it this way, every time you commit a sin, every time you think a bad thought, every time you do something or you let an idle word slip across your lips, imagine you had to put a dollar into a jar. And the tally started when you were born. I would be willing to bet that for all of us here, your entire savings account would be depleted and then some, maybe even up to 164,000 years. We have racked up a lot of debt with God. And we need to recognize that a day is coming, we call it the last day, the end of times, when Jesus will come and he will settle accounts. He will see how much debt we have amassed, and he will collect. So with that kind of debt, what are you going to do? Well, you're probably going to do just like what this servant does. The servant fell on his knees, imploring him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. Pity. Why would this king have pity on this man? Well, it is because he knew that this man had just made an idle promise. I know you're never going to work 164,000 years to pay off this debt. He knows there is nothing this man to do to reconcile with his king. And so out of mercy, out of pity, out of care, the king cancels the debt. It's only when we become like this servant and we realize how far into the red we've actually fallen that we can do the same. Fall on our knees, ask God for his mercy. Recognizing our faults, the huge debt of burden. But what's better is recognizing the Lord's mercy. Knowing that for those who are repentant, for those who want to do better, for those who seek the Lord's help, he offers it every time. And so God sees you. He sees you with your debt. He knows that you have come here to ask him for his mercy. That's what we did in the absolution. But instead of slapping you on the knuckles and telling you to do a better job, instead of extending your due date or pushing it out, like, well, maybe I won't come on the last day for another 1,000 years and we'll see how these people do. No, he doesn't bargain with you. He doesn't keep you on the line for all of your debt. Instead, he just cancels it. He forgives it. And along with this power, this forgiveness, he gives you great power to forgive all of those around you. Which means that the words, "you are forgiven," have great power even in your own life. Now, of course, someone has to deal with this canceled debt, right? I mean, money just doesn't appear out of nowhere unless you're the U.S. Treasury. but this is the thing, is someone has to deal with that debt. Someone has to shoulder that burden. So who absorbs the cost? Of course, Jesus does. Jesus has to deal with the cost. This is what we call redemption. Jesus pays for you. He dies on the cross. He spends his blood and his life, and it didn't cost him 10,000 talents of silver. Didn't cost him any money at all. But he had to pay the wrath of God in his suffering. So you're debt free. Because Jesus has paid your way. And that is no small gift. Okay, so let's go back to the money analogy here, right? Imagine, for instance, that you have this great debt of monetary amounts, and it gets forgiven. Well, what's the first thing you're going to do after that? You're going to go take out a bunch of credit cards, right? And max them all out immediately. Right? No, that would be counterintuitive to what has just happened to you. If you've received a clean slate, if you've received all of your debts forgiven, of course you're going to want to do better. So the parable goes on. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. Now, if you remember these calculations from before, right, 100 denarii, a denarius was a day's wage. And so the first guy owed 164,000 years worth of debt, and this second guy, he owes 100 days worth of debt. Many of us probably even have more than 100 days worth of debt. The problem is that in this parable, forgiveness did not beget forgiveness. When the first man was offered a clean slate, he did not offer a clean slate to his neighbor. So Jesus is teaching a very important lesson here. In fact, he tells us very plainly that the moral of this story is that you must forgive your neighbor. You don't have the option. I don't care what someone has done against you. I don't care what kind of evil has been done to you. You have to forgive. If God forgives us, if he has canceled all of our debt, then who am I to hold somebody else accountable for theirs? In essence, this parable is about the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses, our debts, as we forgive those who trespass against us. It's really easy in theory. I mean, this parable is pretty self-explanatory when you really think about it. Really easy to know the concept. But it's really hard to actually put this into action. Because when someone sins against us, it becomes the biggest thing in the entire world, and nothing so evil has ever happened to a person in existence ever. By nature, what we would much rather do is lash out and condemn them just like the man in the parable. Or give them the cold shoulder, or hold some sort of grudge against them, or get them what they deserve. But Jesus says that's not what Christians do. How many times should I forgive my brother when he sins against me? And Paul thinks he's really like on the mark here, or is it Peter? Yeah, Peter thinks he's really on the mark here when he goes, should I do it up to seven times? Who would forgive their neighbor for sinning against them seven times? That's absurd. What does Jesus say? Not seven. 70 times seven. If our neighbor comes confessing their sin against us, asking for our forgiveness, we must forgive them. Because Jesus has first forgiven us. Forgiveness begets forgiveness. Mercy begets mercy. Redemption begets redemption. It's how the Christians are set apart from the rest of the world. If we refuse to forgive our neighbor, we're no worse than the unbeliever. And in fact, Jesus' parable tells us it puts our salvation in jeopardy. So what do we do? I don't know if you're holding or harboring a grudge against somebody else, or if you have some relationship in your life that needs to be reconciled, but my friends, Jesus has given you forgiveness. He has poured it out for you through the cross. He has delivered it to you through the sacraments. He has made you a promise of redemption, and nothing can take that away. His death and resurrection is your gift, and you are forgiven. And what do you do with that? You take it into your lives. You take it into your relationships. And you forgive all of those around you. In this way, we are a Christian community of believers. Because as Jesus is our head, we are grown up in every way into Him, into Christ, for whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, so that it builds itself up in love. If you want to be God's church, forgive. For you too have been forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, I will direct you back to your hymnal, to page 159, as we confess together our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Please stand.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people, according to their need. Almighty God, as once you kept Joseph from evil and brought good from his suffering in Egypt, deliver us by your grace,
so that we may learn patience in trials. Teach us to be slow to judge, quick to forgive, and steadfast in love for you and for one another. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Lord, you have shown great compassion to us. Teach us to show such compassion to others, that we may welcome the stranger, love our neighbor in need, and be attentive to those new to the faith or vulnerable to temptation. Help us to serve the refugee seeking safety, and give us opportunity to share your gifts with those who live in poverty and want. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, bless those who preach and teach your word, and give the hearers willing ears to hear, and willing hearts to learn the scriptures well. Bless those now training to be pastors and church workers. Grant to all the baptized the aid of your Holy Spirit, so that receiving your gospel with joy, we may share it freely with those outside the faith. Lord, in your mercy. Mighty God, give wisdom and courage to our elected and appointed leaders, that they may pursue justice, seek peace, and protect life from its natural beginning to its natural end. Bring an end to the threats of terror and violence among the peoples, and open all nations to the voice of your word. Lord, in your mercy. Blessed Father, you know our weakness of body and soul. Give to the troubled in mind your peace, to the suffering relief, to the sick healing, to the grieving comfort, and deliver the dying into everlasting life. Hear us especially for those on our prayer list and those we now name in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Giving Lord, all good things come from you. Open our hearts to be generous, that your church and all her agencies may serve your gracious purpose and suffer no lack of people or resources to do the work of your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty and everlasting God, deliver us from temptation and the powers of evil, that we may be faithful unto death, and receive from your hand the crown of everlasting life. Whether we live or die, we belong to you, and we pray you to comfort us with this promise, that we may join the company of the saints on the day you have appointed, and enter into the heavenly places to worship at your throne on high. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue with the offertory on page 159. The Lord's Prayer can be found in the back cover of your hymnal. Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Heavenly Father, grant your mercy and grace to your people in their many and various callings. Give them patience, and strengthen them in their Christian vocation of witness to the world, and of service to their neighbor, in Christ's name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Please be seated for our closing hymn, number 685.